The following narration is taken from a book called A Christian Directory by Richard Baxter. This section is called The Greatness of the Sin of Gluttony. To know the greatness of the sin is the chief part of the cure with those that do but believe that there is a God. I shall therefore next tell you of its nature, effects, and accidents, which make it great and therefore should make it odious to all. Luxury and gluttony is a sin exceeding contrary to the love of God. It is idolatry. It has a heart which God should have, and therefore gluttons are commonly and well called belly gods, because that love, that care, that delight, that service and diligence which God should have is given by the glutton to his belly and to his throat. He loves the pleasing of his appetite better than the pleasing of God. His dishes are more delightful to him than any holy exercise is. His thoughts are more frequent and more sweet of his belly than of God or godliness. His care and labor are more that he may be pleased in meat and drink than that he may secure his salvation and be justified and sanctified. And indeed, the scripture gives them this name, Philippians 3, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things, being enemies to the cross of Christ, that is, to bearing the cross for Christ, and to the crucifying of the flesh, and to the mortifying, suffering parts of religion. Nay, such a devouring idol is the belly, that it swallows up more by intemperance and excess than all other idols in the world do. And remember that the very life of the sin is an appetite and heart. When a man's heart is set upon his belly, though he fare never so hardly through necessity, he is a glutton in heart. When you make a great manner of it, when you shall eat and drink as to the delight, and when you take it for a great loss or suffering, if you fare hardly and are troubled at it, and your thoughts and talk are of your belly, and ye have not that indifferency, whether your fare be coarse or pleasant, so it be wholesome, as all temperate persons have, this is a heart of gluttony, and is the heart's forsaken of God, and making the appetite its God. Gluttony is self-murder. Though it kill not suddenly, it kills surely, like the dropsy which kills as it feels by degrees. Very many of the wisest physicians believe that of those who overlive their childhood, there is scarce 1 or 20, yea, or 100 that dies but gluttony or excess in eating or drinking is a principal cause of their death, though not the most immediate cause. It is thought to kill 100 to 1 of all that die at age, and it will not let them die easily and quickly, but torments them first with manifold diseases while they live. You eat more than nature can perfectly concoct. Because you don't feel it troubling you or making you sick, you think it hurts you not, whereas it does by degrees first alter and vitiate the temperament of the blood and humors, making it a crude, unconcocted, unnatural thing, unfit for the due nutrition of the parts of it. It turns the nourishing mass of food into a burdensome excrement mixture, abounding with saline and tartarous matter, and consisting more of a pituitous lime or redundant serosity than of that sweet nutrimental milk of nature, quickened with those spirits and well-proportioned heat which should make it fit to be the oil of life. And our candle either sparkles away with salt, or runs away because there is some thief in it, or goes out because the oil is turned into water, or presently wastes and runs about through the inconsistent softness of its oil. Hence it is that one part is tainted with corruption, and another consumes as destitute of fit nutriment, and a vessel secretly obstructed by the grossness or other unfitness of the blood to run its circle and perform its offices. It is a cause of a multitude of lamentable diseases, the frigid distempers of the brain, the soporous and comatose effects, the lethargy, carus, and apoplexy, the palsy, convulsion, and epilepsy, vertigo, catarrhs, the headache, and oft the frenzy and madness, come all from these effects of gluttony and excess, which are made upon the blood and the humors. The asthma usually, and consumption, and the pleurisy, and the hypnotic passion often comes from this. Yea, the very syncopes or swooning, palpitations of the heart and faintings, which men think rather come from weakness, do usually come either from oppression of nature by these secret excrements, or putrefaginous blood, or else from a weakness contracted by the inaptitude of the blood to nourish us, being vitiated by excess. The loathing of meat and lack of appetite is ordinarily from the crudities or distempers caused by this excess. Yea, the very canine appetite, which would still have more, is caused by a viciousness in the humors thus contracted. The pains of the stomach, vomitings, the cholera, hiccups, inflammations, thirst are usually from this cause. The wind, colic, the iliac, passion, looseness, and fluxes, the tenemus and ulcers, the worms and other troubles in those parts are usually from this. The obstructions of the liver, the jaundice, inflammations, abscesses, and ulcers, scurus and dropsy are commonly from this. Hence also usually are inflammations, pains, obstructions, and scurus of the spleen. Hence commonly is the stone, nephritic torments and stoppages of urine, and ulcers of the reins and bladder. Hence commonly is the scorbut and most of the fevers which are found in the world, and bring such multitudes to the grave, even those that immediately are caused by colds, distempers of the air or infections, are oft caused principally by long excess, which vitiates the humors and prepares them for the disease. Hence also are the gout and hysterical affects, and diseases of the eyes and other exterior parts, so that we may well say that gluttony enriches landlords, fills the churchyards, and hastens multitudes to an untimely end. Perhaps you will say that the most temperate have diseases, to which experience teaches me to answer, that usually children are permitted to be voracious and gluttonous, either in quantity or in quality, eating raw fruits and things unwholesome. And so when gluttony is bred, the disease or laid in the matter, then all the temperance that can be used is little enough to keep it under all their life after. An abundance that have been brought to the doors of death by excess have been preserved after many years to a competent age by abstinence, and many totally freed from their diseases. Now what a murderer gluttony is, and what an enemy to mankind. Number 3, gluttony is also a deadly enemy to the mind and to all the noble employments of reason, both religious, civil, and artificial. It unfits men for any close and serious studies, and therefore tends to nourish ignorance and keep men fools. It greatly unfits men for hearing God's word, or reading, or praying, or meditating, or any holy work. It makes them have more mind to sleep, or so indisposes and dulls them, that they have no life or fitness for their duty, but a clear head, not troubled with their drowsy vapors, will do more and get more in an hour than a full-bellied beast will do in many. So that gluttony is as much an enemy to all religious and manly studies as drunkenness is an enemy to a garrison, where the drunken soldiers are disabled to resist the enemy. Number 4, gluttony is also an enemy to diligence and every honest trade and calling, for it dulls the body as well as the mind. It makes men heavy and drowsy and slothful to go about their business as if they carried a coat of lead and were in fetters. They have no vivacity and alacrity and are fitter to sleep or play than work. Number 5, gluttony is the immediate symptom of a carnal mind and of the damnable sin of flesh pleasing before described. And a carnal mind is the very sum of iniquity and the proper name of an unregenerate state. It is enmity against God, and neither is nor can be subject to his law, so that they that are thus in the flesh cannot please God, and they that walk after the flesh shall die. Romans 8, 6 to 8 and 13. The filthiest sins of lechers and miners and thieves are but to please the flesh. And who serves it more than the glutton does? Number 6. Gluttony is a breeder and feeder of all other lusts. It pampers the flesh to feed it and makes it a sacrifice for lust. As dung in the ground doth make it fruitful, especially of weeds, so does gluttony fill the mind with the weeds and vermin of filthy thoughts and filthy desires and words and deeds. Number 7. Gluttony is a base and beastly kind of sin. For a man to place his happiness in the pleasure of a swine, and to make his reason serve his throat or sink into his guts, as if he were but a hogshead to be filled and emptied, or a sink for liquor to run through into the channel, or as if he were made only to carry meat from the table to the dunghill, how base a kind of life is this! Yea, many beasts will not eat and drink excessively, as a gluttonous epicure will do. Number 8. Gluttony is a prodigal consumer and devourer of the creatures of God. What is he worthy of that would take meat and drink and cast it away into the channel? Nay, that would be at a great deal of cost and curiosity to get the pleasantest meat he could procure. To cast away, the glutton does worse. It were better of the two to throw all his excesses into the sink or ditch, for then they would not first hurt his body. And are the creatures of God of no more worth? Are they given you to do worse and cast them away? Would you have your children use their provisions thus? 9. Gluttony is a most unthankful sin. It takes God's mercies and spews them, as it were, in his face, and carries his provisions over to his enemy, even to the strengthening of fleshly lusts, and turns them all against himself. You could not have a bit but from his liberality and blessing, and will you use it to provoke him and dishonor him? Number 10. Gluttony is a sin which turns your own mercies and wealth and food into your snare and to your deadly ruin. You please your throat and poison your soul. It were better for you 1,000 times that you had lived on scraps and in a poorest manner than thus to have turned your plenty to your damnable sin. When you shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest you forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 11 and 12. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, "Who is the Lord?" Proverbs 30, verse 9. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. Psalm 75, 29 and 30. Number 11, gluttony is a great time-wasting sin. What a deal of time is spent in getting the money that is laid out to please the throat, and then by servants in preparing for it, and then in long sitting at meat and feastings, and not a little in taking medicine to carry it away again, or to ease or cure the diseases which it causes, besides all the time which is lost and languish in sickness or cut off by an untimely death. Thus they live to eat, and eat to frustrate and to shorten life. Number 12. It is a thief that robs you of your estates and devours that which is given you for better uses and for which you must give an account to God. It is a costly sin and consumes more than would serve to many better purposes. How great a part of the riches of most kingdoms are spent in luxury and excess. Number 13, it is a sin that is a great enemy to the common good. Princes and commonwealths have reason to hate it and restrain it as the enemy of their safety. Men have not money to defray the public charges necessary to the safety of the land because they consume it on their guts. Armies and navies must be unpaid and fortifications neglected, and all that tends to the glory of a people must be opposed as against their personal interest. Because all is too little for the throat. No great works can be done to the honor of the nation or the public good. Gluttony in excess is a sin greatly aggravated by the necessities of the poor. What an incongruity is it that one member of Christ, as he would be thought, should be feeding himself deliciously every day and abounding with abused superfluities, whilst another is starving and pining in a cottage or begging at the door, and that some families should do worse and cast their delicates in abundance to the dogs, while thousands at that time are ready to famish and are fain to feed on such unwholesome food as kills them as soon as luxury kills the epicure. Do these men believe that they shall be judged according to their feeding of the poor? Or do they take themselves to be members of the same body with those whose sufferings they so little feel? 1 Corinthians 12:26. And gluttony is a more heinous sin because of the common calamities of the church and servants of Christ throughout the world. One part of the church is oppressed by the Turk and another by the Pope, and many countries wasted by the cruelties of armies and persecuted by proud, impious enemies. And is it fit then for others to be wallowing in sensuality and gluttony? Woe to them that are at ease in Zion! Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. It is a time of great humiliation, and are you now given up to fleshly luxury? And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping, and to mourning, and to baldness, and to girding with sackcloth, and behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord of hosts.